We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Clay Thompson, and you are listening to The Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. You better not be roasting me if I'm giving all these intros.
All right, poll question of the day before we get to Shameless Shoutouts at 7:45. Shameless Shoutouts, 7:45. Love it. Our poll question is... What's our poll question? I don't have it up here on my chat.
You got to find the right button first. Our poll question today is regarding the Big Three. It's on YouTube. When it comes to them, do you want to run it back with the Big Three, or is it time to break them up? Right now, with 185 votes in, 62% are saying it's time to break them up. 38% are saying let's run it back.
Interesting. What about Rick from England? Rick all the way from England. We're going international, Shasky. Going across the pond to England. What's up, Rick?
What's up, guys? I got a lot of questions for you, if that's cool. I'm really curious because my friends aren't really... They're not talking about the Dubs for a while because I think they're in the fetal position still. But I got a lot of questions for you guys about Kuminga's extension and what would you guys do with Steph if they really aren't going to...
Well, Steph is going to the Olympics, and it's a great question. What does Steph want? Oh, he's God? He cursed?
Can't say bad words.
Oh, he cursed? I didn't really... Did you hear the curse word?
No, because he's so quick on the draw.
Oh, that's good. Oh, damn. Rick all the way calling from England? He kind of said the fetal position.
Bangers and mash.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to Tamir. I know Tamir. Well, Tamir has good etiquette.
I think I know what his question was.
Should Kuminga get an extension?
Well, he was asking about the... And look, I'd be uncomfortable giving... Especially after what happened with Jordan Poole and the Warriors. I would be uncomfortable giving Jonathan Kuminga $30 million. I mean, he hasn't really done much. I mean, I'm just being honest. But I understand there's also... Like, there's the finance of the NBA and how things work. You prematurely overpay a lot of guys who haven't done a lot. Like, that's kind of just how things work. I would be uncomfortable doing it. And at the same time, really, Kuminga's one of the few assets. Like, I want to keep him, and I want to figure out what he is before I make the leap to pay him. But simultaneously, he is one of the few guys that can get you something back in return. So if I'm giving you my flow chart of offseason like thoughts of how I'm and look, one of them is very unpopular. First is I'm praying for chaos and a Zion, a Giannis. Someone wants to come, leave their team and become available and team up with Steph. Like, that would be priority one. If that doesn't happen, the or is no one else truly as a difference maker is available. And no, I know this is unpopular, and I know people don't want to hear this. I would shallow out, and I would not hit bankruptcy because of my finances and have all my assets frozen. I would try to shed things that I have.
You're not going
pray to God that Steph Curry doesn't.
You're not
going to
go bankrupt.
No, it's the equivalent where your assets get frozen. You can't trade your draft picks. Like, that's you have to keep your draft picks.
You got Tamir on hold, man, for 90 seconds, man.
Tamir's there. I'll get to him a second. And I would allow this thing to shallow out.
Let's get Tamir, man. Tamir, talk, man. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's good. I love Shasky. But I was just calling because I was listening to everyone. And I know that, of course, we want the Big Three to stay together and everything. But, like, we got to understand, like, sports. Like, there's a reason why there's only, like, when we have core teams, there's only, like, one player that usually stays with the team or never stays. And we have to realize that as a fan base that eventually it's going to break up. So if that has to happen now, you do have to take a step back we don't want to go back to, well, at least when I was younger, being a Warriors fan, we don't want to go back to those times where we had a great time out with the packages, the bringing packages just for us to go to games. So we're going to, as a fan base, we got to get comfortable with, they may not, all three may not be here, but that's not diminishing what they did for us. And that's
no doubt.
Shots at them. It's just sports. So we have to look at it as a big whole and all that stuff. So that's where I'm at. I'm like, I'm not taking shots at Draymond, Clay, or anything. Because, like, Bonte, you know how it is. Like, we grew up, we didn't even think we would have a championship. So we're blessed to even have four. I got to see a parade in downtown Oakland. I never thought I would see that. So, like, I'm happy that, but we got to look at reality.
Yep.
It's the sports world. Eventually, they're going to break up, so we just got to be prepared for that.
Does it mean – good call, Tamir. Does it mean anything to anybody? Does this mean anything to anybody at the Warriors when Draymond Green returned on Martin Luther King Jr. Day when they lost to the Memphis Grizzlies in Memphis? The Warriors had the third-best record in the Western Conference from that point on. Does that mean anything to anybody? Is that fool's gold?
What was the signature win during that time period?
I mean, they beat the Bucks by 35. They beat the Mavericks. Did they beat the Snow? Draymond wasn't there for the Phoenix Suns on a Saturday night. You beat the Lakers a couple times. You had some good wins. You had some good wins.
I don't know. The record is the record, so I can't.
During that stretch, you just said you asked me, so I mean. I don't know if it does anything
for
anybody.
You had the late season road trip there. You had the win at Staples Center. There was the other road trip, the Washington, New York, Toronto road trip that was kind of tough. So, I mean, you had some moments in there.
All right, let's hear from Dunleavy. How realistic is it to build a championship around the big three?
Give me my say well within the realm of...
Hold on, Sam. Go ahead. Let's restart that.
Well, considering they won four before, I would say it's well within the realm of reasonability. But we got to, you know, certainly we want Clay back, first and foremost. I expressed that to him yesterday. I think our players have expressed that, our coaches, front office, ownership. Look, everybody wants Clay back. He's still a really good player. And I think we have enough good players in our system. We have enough assets to acquire good players. And we have the ability to keep getting better. So given that, as long as those guys are still really good, like, yeah, we can. I think we can contend and compete. But we just unequivocally have to improve.
We have to improve. We have to improve. He knows that. How much will the loss to the Kings impact the offseason?
Yeah, honestly, not a lot. I don't take that game into consideration too much. That was the worst game we played all year. Give credit to Sacramento. They did a great job. But, you know, I watched this team for 82 games. I mean, the amount of times that we've been ran off the court, very few. I think there were a couple of home games in January. Obviously, the Boston game where that was a different scenario. But, you know, that was a game last night where I think the other night where you got to be careful of like overreacting to how it went. I don't think that represented our team on the whole for the season. But that being said, it kind of put the stamp on what the reality of this year was. So here we are. And I would say going into that game, whether win or lose, no matter how it happened, I knew we had to get better.
He knew they had to get better.
You know, the Kings game, we talk about it's like the Super Bowl is not why you signed Chase Young. You're looking at the body of work throughout the year, right? So losing at the end, it always gets magnified. Like, no however doubt. You go out, it's disproportionate.
What people are doing is what they're tweeting me and texting me is Clay's last three elimination games, and they haven't been pretty. So we just ignore the body of work. But that's all I'm saying. And I'm a Clay apologist. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. But we look at the one game against Sacramento and say, he had a terrible season. That's not fair. That's not fair at all. That's all I'm saying. That's not fair to say that. The guy did with everything you guys wanted him to do. He came off the bench. He took less minutes. He took less shots. And he was as productive as he's been in the past 2 years. And it's still not enough. So that's just, you know, it just kind of drives me crazy.
Well, I think that I would say back to Dunleavy, like, all right, I don't think the Kings game is the end-all be-all, but I did think it was a microcosm of a lot of different losses throughout the year. Think of the second quarter against New Orleans on Friday. Think about losing that game to the Dallas Mavericks with no Luka. Like, there are specific moments down the stretch that I think of when they did have stakes attached to them, and they were somewhat healthy, and I was like, God, you didn't look connected.
Wire-to-wire loss to the New York Knicks at home, coming off a road trip. You know, you lose to Indiana. They have the big third quarter.
That shot
before halftime to get back in the game. They weren't even playing well.
Yeah,
you know, you lose to the San Antonio Spurs on a Saturday night without Wimby. Not get Steph Curry didn't play, but man, you looked awful in that game. There's so many losses we could pinpoint. We're like, that's why you're in your spot.
And I think where I continue to come back to is that I think a lot of people, just get a shot creator, just get a big man, just get this. See, to me, they're like four moves away. You know, like they need multiple moves. And this is why I think that this is much more complex and difficult than a one trade solution. Trade Wiggins and Kuminga and get that guy.
Yeah. Like look, man, it's what's the biggest concern for Dub fans out there? Is it the payroll? Is it the age of the players? Is it bringing back the core three? Is it Kuminga and Moody not knowing who they are? Is it Draymond Green? What is the biggest concern moving into the offseason? Because there's a lot here. There's the payroll. There's the core. There's the youngsters. We don't know how good the youngsters are.
Yes.
Is the need to tonight is serious with J.K.? I love J.K. I think he's a player, but you got to make a decision on him with the extension. Hell, you got to make a decision on Moses Moody with the extension, and you haven't played him consistent minutes yet. You don't even know who he is.
And let's say I gave you the same, just hypothetically, and I don't even know. There's money all over the place. Logan Murdoch said that certain people think that he's looking for about $30 million a year. That's a lot. And I like
that's
J.K.
That's the price of doing business these days.
No, I know it is, but
I mean, Jaylen Brown's getting $60 million a year. 30's a new 20.
Jaylen Brown has had
30's a new 20, Shasky.
He's had some great seasons, right? Like, and he's been an all-star multiple times. Like, they did go to the finals, and he was the second best player. Like, I'm not even a Jaylen Brown fan. But
shameless shout-outs coming up at 7:45. But come on.
But I'm just saying.
That's the price of doing business, though.
No, I hear you, but like everything that happened with Jordan Poole, doesn't it give you a little pause?
Well, Jordan Poole got socked, you know? Like, Jordan Poole, hey, let me tell you, last 21 games with the Wizards, you look like a winning player. They didn't win a lot of games, but he got his game right going into the offseason.
So going back to your pecking order thing, Klay gets $25 million. Draymond's making $25 million.
I don't know if I would
come in at 30.
I don't even think I would. I didn't say I would do that.
Oh, no. But I'm just saying.
I don't even know. I think for the Warriors, I'm saying this as the Klay apologist on the show and the biggest Klay stand out there. It may be best for the Warriors to move on from Klay.
No, but what if they did have Klay on? I'm going to go hypotheticals here.
It's a lot of money.
Draymond's getting 25. Klay's getting 25.
I can't justify that watching this team not make the playoffs.
And Kuminga comes in at 30. How does that dynamic work?
It doesn't. You just came in 10th place. I don't know. I don't think that's good enough right now West.
I agree with that.
It's not good enough. It's a lot of pressure on Kuminga to do things. Let's go to... I want to play this cup before we get to Brian and San Jose. Shameless shout-outs coming up at 7:45. Shameless shout-outs at 7:45. Draymond Green. Here's Dudley on Draymond Green. Then we got a huge cut. Sam, if you could get it ready, and I think it's worth playing the entire cut. It's Steve Kerr on Draymond Green. It's about 4 minutes long, maybe 4 minutes and 38 seconds if we can find it. I know Slater tweeted it yesterday on X. Very, very interesting stuff. But let's hear from Dudley on Draymond's future.
In terms of having him back, I think very, very high likelihood. I can't imagine a scenario where he's not back. Could be wrong, but man, he's signed up under contract. We value him. He's a core piece of what we do. So fully expect him to be back. I think we went over 60% of the games he played in this year. So you know how meaningful he is to winning, and he'll continue to do so. I think he's in a great place mentally, just evaluating and observing him over the season after the suspension. I think he's learned from it. I think he's better, and we'll continue to work on that stuff and have it on top of mind. But, you know, I think we're in a really good place with him and excited to have him back.
So that's Dudley. He did add, though, within that 38-second answer, I could be wrong, but I think he'll be back. Could be wrong, I think he'll be back. But he could be wrong. Zach Lowe yesterday, ESPN, wrote an article. And in that article, he's talking about the Warriors' rebuild. And he writes in the middle of the story, they have a decision to make on Draymond Green, whose volatility has worn on several within the organization, sources said. But everyone within the team understands how good Draymond Green is. One of the league's best defenders and their orchestrator of the Golden State motion offense who enjoys rare chemistry with Curry. Finding a team willing to trade significant future assets for Green would be tricky, as he's owed $77 million over the next 3 years. And the rest of the league has watched the chaos of the past 24 months. This is Zach Lowe writing this. You know, Wiggins has 3 years and almost 90 left on his deal, and probably was the most disappointing season. I thought he was the most important player coming into the season, and he was disappointed this year. Andrew Wiggins admitted it. But Draymond Green, it's very interesting because, Shask, I think one thing we can't deny is that he is valuable to this team in terms of winning. They won 60% of the games with him on the floor. That's undeniable, his importance to this basketball team. But it's also undeniable that his own actions hurt this basketball team this season and, heck, last season. So how much do you give and take with that? Is he worth the squeeze now moving forward when he's got $77 million owed to him over the next 3 years? Because, again, he did impact winning. They're a lot better when he's in the lineup. Their best record in the West when he got back from the suspension. Their defense did get better with TJD. But is that a step? Do you need to move off of him because of all the other things? Is now the time to do that? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
About a year ago, I remember going down the rabbit hole on a Bobby Marks article on The Athletic about the new CBA and how it would affect certain teams, and the Warriors in particular. And there was this big conundrum, like Draymond can opt out and become a free agent, and you could lose him for nothing, or you could retain him and then maybe deal him down the line. And just seeing the ramifications of bringing him back, if you just projected out one more year, and at the time we thought Jordan Poole was going to be on the team, you could see they were going to get into this crunch financially where a lot of their assets and draft capital would be stuck in carbonite, frozen, if they brought back Clay at a certain price point that went over that second apron. I personally believe the thing that locked them into the toughest, like just the toughest financial, was bringing Draymond back, because it puts you right up against it. So now you're losing the CP3 deal for nothing. You're resigned to that. You're not getting anything basically for him for the most part, unless they want to go into that second apron, which I have a hard time feeling it. And you're asking, like, what does he bring? I've been saying I think it's more bad than good, and I know that people can point to winning. I think he creates a lot of schematic problems on the offensive and defensive end based on whether he's a 4 or a 5. I think he brings a lot of chemistry issues. And I just think there's just so much. And then there's this hierarchy, and there's just a lot. And I would have moved off. And I know he's not going to like hearing this or whatever, but I really don't care. I've been a Warrior fan my whole life. I'll be a Warrior fan before him, during his tenure. I'm appreciative. I'm grateful for the things that he's done in a Warrior uniform. But I was ready to turn the page. And it's no disrespect to him. It's just I'm ready to see what else we've got. And I think that he seminally represents more than just the player. I think that the hierarchy and the tolerance level for young players around him is just very difficult. There's a tapestry that you have to tap dance. And I'm ready to move on.
I want to talk about the basketball aspect of it, because we know about everything else that has happened with Draymond Green. The basketball aspect of it. When you play two bigs with him, and say it's TJD or it's Kevon Looney, you're essentially playing in the half court with two non-scorers. And when you do that, it really limits your spacing offensively, which hurts Stephen Curry. He's coming off flare screens. You're running a split action. You kind of know, like, we talk about offenses in NFL, right? They're so predictable. Or, hell, we'll keep it basketball. You think about the Houston Rockets with James Harden. They were so predictable because they told you we're either going to shoot threes or try to get layups or get fouled.
Yeah, Capella,
you
don't even have high
to
screen.
You don't even have to guard James Harden from 18 feet out because they will not take a mid-range jumper. They became very, very predictable. The Warriors offensively, when Draymond's running that point, and Sacramento sat on it, man. I think the Sacramento game was a microcosm of what the Lakers do and what other teams do. They sag off of Draymond Green and dare him to shoot. And he mentioned it after the Lakers game, you know, with his hips. And Mully had a great breakdown on Warriors pregame live. And it was the mentals with Draymond Green. If he could mentally just say, you know what, I'm going to shoot 8 threes a game. And if I make 4, that's 50%. Well, if I make 3, that's not a bad percentage either. He's got to get more aggressive offensively. And he's got to try to make defenses guard him. Maybe defenses are going to say, we're going to live with Draymond Green beating us. Maybe that's just the way they're going to do it. They're going to give him the Tony Allen treatment. But I think offensively, when he's not aggressive, it hurts this offense. When he's so much more aggressive, it takes this offense to another level. But can he be consistently good offensively? Then you got the back worries. The back injury is a thing with Draymond Green from banging with all those centers all over the years. The wear and tear of playing multiple playoff games and playing into June. And you got the back injury. Now you need a center who can roll behind you. You got to play center field. I think offensively they need some tweaks, because as much as it's difficult to play with Steph Curry and he's such a unique player, and Klay Thompson, you want to add him in there, it's unique to have Draymond Green within the half-court offense because you have to play a certain way. You're basically playing 4-on-5. You know, because they're not going to respect his drives. They're not going to respect his floaters. Sacramento took the away the lob threats against Draymond Green in that game Tuesday night. And when he didn't have the lob threat, he missed a couple threes, he stopped shooting. You need him to be aggressive offensively. So from a basketball standpoint, you got to do things. You got to do things differently with Draymond Green in the half court. So that's always been a sticking point with me. Can he evolve in the offense? As Warrior fans want the offense to evolve, and they want to modernize the offense around Stephen Curry. Well, can you do that with Draymond in the half court? I don't know. I don't know if you can.
I mean, his for a guy that handles the ball as much as he does at the top of the key, his assist-to-turnover ratio has never been great. No one ever wants to bring that up. And the redundancy of what they do offensively with him with the ball in his hands. I mean, you just, how many still photos do you need to see? You don't have to be an X's and O's genius to see how many times, like De'Aaron Fox, for example, is sagged off him. And then the second he gets the ball, they come up trying to take away those handoffs that are going, or those little shovel passes to Steph Curry. And now you're bringing a second and third defender closer to a guy that's actually going to take a shot. Yeah, it's not good in terms of the offensive production. And then defensively, look, he's a really good player defensively. Like in a vacuum, he's really good. But your point about the 4 versus 5, it's one that's really well taken, and I don't think we talk enough about it. Like they need a traditional big to play alongside him to sustain throughout the regular season.
That destroyed them in the Lakers series. We're going to play the Steve Kerr answer on Draymond Green at 8 o'clock because it's 5 minutes long. Table.
I'm just weighing pros and cons. The other aspect is like, this is a buddy-buddy league, right? And if you want to buddy up with somebody, I mean, how many guys are lining up? Like, I'm talking about the top-tier guys that have options. They can go wherever they want. How many of those guys want to play with them?
I don't know. You have to ask them. I don't know. I do not know, but there's a lot there with Draymond Green. There's a lot there. The team knows it. Wait till you hear Steve Kerr's answer. But I know there's some people in the chat. I don't know what makes them think I want to bring the big three back. I've said this from the day since yesterday. I think changes need to be made. This ain't my first rodeo, buddy. I saw Jerry Rice move on to the Raiders. I saw Roddy Lott move on to the Jets. Will Clark move on to the Texas Rangers? Matt Williams, one of my favorite Giants all time, played for three other teams after he left the Giants. Things happen. So what I want is to be working during the playoffs. I want to be working Warrior games during the playoffs. This is weird. They missed the playoffs three times in the last 5 years now.
If you had to put $1,000 on it, let's just say $1,000. What's the quickest path to contention? Trying to Band-Aid and pray for a miracle trade and just keep some semblance of what they have going now, or bottoming out a little and risk alienating Steph Curry long-term.
If you get a big star, right, depending on how you get the big star, you can win with Steph and Dre. You can win with them. You can. They show they can impact winning. Now, Curry did struggle down the stretch, but that was partly due to all the lineups around him or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And the efficiency numbers from the post-All-Star break was not good for Steph. And the spacing for Steph. One thing that needs to happen, he needs help, Stephen Curry. He's going to get blitzed over and over and over. He's seeing Trey Murphy. 100%. He's seeing Herb Jones. He's seeing Keegan Murray. He is now seeing 6'7", 6'8", defenders all day long.
The height of those guys.
Yeah, it's just too much for Steph. He's 36 years old. So he's not getting
Draymond's smaller than all those guys.
And here's the thing with Steph, and you can notice it this year, even though he's still playing at a high level, gaining that separation on the three-point shot. He struggles with that now. Yeah. He struggled with that this season, which is why he was missing all those long threes this year, gaining that separation and blowing people off the dribble, blowing by people off the...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dribble. It's tougher for Steph at this age, at this stage of his career. Let's go to Brian in San Jose. Brian, what's happening?
What's good, y'all? How y'all doing? Good morning.
What's up?
Good.
Good morning. How you doing? You know, a lot of things that you guys are saying are things that I've been thinking, not even just this week, over the past 3 months, right? You know what happens with great teams once they reach that epitome of winning multiple championships? The organization has to break them up. Like, after they win so many championships, think about it. We won four. How many did we go to?
Six.
We won four. We went to six. Kerr wants to keep focus on his main guys who won him the trophies. This stunts the growth of the youth. We went to six. We won. Did we go to seven? Sometimes I get confused.
No, we lost 2016. They lost 2016. They lost 2019.
Okay, for six.
Six finals appearances, yeah.
1-4, and now we're struggling. Like, the league gets better. Like, everybody else gets better. They're drafting people. They're growing people. Clay's been through injuries. Draymond, he's Draymond. We love him, but, like, it's okay to let him go. Wiggins got to go. We gotta let the youth start a new team. The Kerr don't even want to play.
So
the youth ahead
again.
Of
so Brian, let me ask you this: then, how patient are you going to be through a rebuild? Because that's some things we say we want to rebuild.
You're right.
We want to rebuild. We want to rebuild. Then we get in the rebuild and we start losing our minds because you're rebuilding and you're not winning games. So how long are you willing to be patient?
Well, we're going to lose games anyway because the league is better than us now.
Well, the way he said it right there is kind of how I'm feeling. Like, oh, you won more games this year than last year. Yeah, but you still felt really far away. And then I look at the teams at the top, which you've been talking a lot about. And OKC is a dramatic version of this, but like them bottoming out. I mean, they did it on steroids, and I don't think that would be accepted here the way they did it, which was very unique, okay? Yeah. That's the outlier. But I look at, like, the way Dallas kind of bottomed out for a year and a half and then re-tinkered their team. They did a really good job, and they took a depreciated player.
Well, really just 1 year, because they went to the Western Conference Finals, and they didn't make the playoffs last year, and then they traded for Kyrie at the deadline. And it was like, all right, we got a shot next year. We'll let this ride out.
But the difference was, I think Luka's better and younger than where Steph, like, Luka's better 2 years later, and he's younger than where Steph is currently, and so Steph's not going to be better 2 years from now, you know, and Steph might want out, and that is the risk that I know no one wants to hear. I know you don't want to hear it, and it sucks, and it's a minority opinion, but it might be their quickest path to being good again is bottoming out a little. And being legitimately good.
Well, if you're going to bottom out, you got to bottom out. You can't half step bottom book out. You're either going to commit to a rebuild.
I mean more financially.
Yeah, no, I know. I hear you. But if you're going to rebuild and you're going to financially bottom out, then you got to do it. You got to commit to it 100%.
No, I agree.
You can't half step.
Look at the Giants.
You know?
I'll say this. Like you said, people say they want to rebuild. You know what has frustrated me more when I'm watching the Giants? They didn't rebuild. They never really tore it down to the studs, and they found nobility in trying to compete and be 500, and that's why they have the 19th best farm system currently in baseball, and it kind of frustrates me.
So we're in the middle of a rebuild. I remember what it was like with the Niners. Nobody was coming to those games during the Chip Kelly days, and that was just 2 years. 2 years of struggles. Think about that. They bottomed out, and folks stopped coming. So Harbaugh leaves 2014. They go 8-8 that year. Mm-hmm. Tom Sula coaches. They win five games. But the next year with Chip Kelly, fans had stopped coming.
I think
you could have got $20 tickets.
The way it went down.
The way it went down was nasty.
Yeah, and there
was nasty.
There was also like the Kaepernick situation.
No, it was nasty.
The retirements. There was.
It was nasty.
It was a unique. But I agree.
But just think how quickly that happened.
Monte, I bought season tickets that 2018 year. No one wanted season tickets. The very next year, the prices all jumped up.
Let's go to, we got shameless shout outs coming up. You know what? Do we want to push Shameless shout-outs back?
I've got a special shout-out for
Yeah, I got. Let's push it back. Let's get these calls about the Golden State Warriors.
James Velasquez hit a triple last night, his best at-bat ever.
We don't know who that is. Who's James Velasquez?
Well, he's a diehard roaster, James V.
Okay, well, who is he? What does
he
do?
He's one of the kids on the team.
Okay, he's a roaster. Okay, yeah. He's on the team.
He listens every single day. He's in the YouTube chat.
So he's a listener.
He wanted me to tell you that he had a great game last night.
Why do you want to tell me that?
Because he wanted to be shout out so he could screen clip this and send it to all his buddies at school.
No, he wanted to tell you that. He wanted you to. He doesn't care about me. I don't even know who James is. James, good job. Anthony Cocker, what's happening?
What's up, fellas? Top of the morning, both.
Top of the morning.
Hey,
man.
What up, man?
What's going on, man?
What's up? Man, you know, just got a little impromptu off day, so I'm just doing a little Instacart right now. But I wanted to jump in here. So I got a couple of things. One, I do agree that it's probably time to shake things up. Offensively, as far as our philosophy, you know, unless we're going to just get some – unless we're going to get more shooters, you know, we have to really think about how we want to how we want this offense to be right now, because at the moment the only other shooter we have is Clay, but people want to get rid of him. And I agree with you, Bonta, that it actually might be time for him to just have a new change of scenery, because like there's so much there and he wears it when he's not able to be productive. And I do think that that wears on the team sometime, even though I personally believe he's been a better teammate than one Draymond. Nevertheless, I think sometimes Clay's energy can affect the team negatively. But I also want to say this, guys. We have to commit to developing some youngsters. I feel like over these last couple of seasons, we just had this like carousel of youngsters, and we haven't really actually decided, like, you know what, we're going to stay pat with the youngsters we have. Like, some people want to trade Jonathan Kuminga. Some people want to trade Moses Moody, you know, and even Pod. Maybe, and we're trying to like staple youngsters together with expiring contracts. And I think one of the things we really need to do is just, we got to let these guys like develop into what kind of players they're going to be, because maybe we're not good next year and the year after that, but you know, maybe in the next 3 years, you know, these guys will really be some quality players. Because you look at somebody like Moses Moody, he's always ready.
Yep.
He's always ready to contribute. And I think that's something you can't really like, you can't like get that, you know, like everybody just doesn't have the mindset to be like, you know what, I'm not playing tonight. I'm not playing, you know, I haven't played this week, but when my number is called, I'm ready to go. And I feel like that's something that you really can't quantify, like having somebody on the bench that's reliable. He's not pouting. He's not sulking. So I really think that they need to tap into really developing the youngsters, because they're going to be the ones that can like, you know, help, extend what's left of the big three. And I think as far as like the big three, as much as I understand what everybody's saying, I think the Dubs, they're not breaking them up. I feel like as long as Steve Kerr's the coach and they already extended Draymond and they already extended Steph, I feel like Clay is just the next domino to fall. Like, he's not going anywhere, as much as I hear both sides. I just feel like it is what it is, and we're going to ride off with the big three. So let's try to develop what we have instead of trying to go out there and get a big splashy name for one season, and then they leave.
Good point. Good point. Good call, Anthony. It's a good call. No, wow, this is just thinking about the Niners and thinking about what's going on with the Warriors here, just in the offseason, because you brought up Brandon Ayuk, and the draft is next week, and we're going to be getting into the draft. I can't wait for that and what they do, because they have decisions to make with Brock Purdy's money coming up. Bringing Clay back. Boy, just, oh gosh, if that happens. And the first game, he goes 3-for-18. The first day, he could have 5 straight good games, and it won't even matter because nobody will call in and give him his props for whatever reason. And then he has that 3-for-18 game.
Well, why do you think there's been such a pivot on Klay Thompson?
I don't know. It kind of drives me insane. It kind of drives me insane because as fans, I hear the argument of, we just want these guys to be human. We have to live in the real world and yada, yada, yada. And so, more so than any athlete I've seen in the last 5 years, this guy's a Klay Thompson showed us how human he is. So that's endearing to me. When an athlete like that makes showing that he cares and he's playing minutes. And look, I know he's not the best player. He's not the same guy. That's obvious. If you thought he was going to be the same guy coming back from those 2 leg injuries, then you were fooling yourself. Like, his first month of the season, I was just hoping he landed on the court and didn't snap anything. We were all petrified whenever he jumped up for a dunk. But I don't know why there's a big pivot, because he thought he could be the same player, and damn it, he's an athlete. He's a competitor. Of course he wanted to be the same player. He's trying to get it back. Wasn't there. He saw Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant didn't lose much off that Achilles tendon. Kevin Durant was even better, it felt like.
KD started at a higher point in terms of what he was.
He did, but he came back from that Achilles injury and boom. Yeah. It was like he didn't even suffer the injury.
But also his game, you know, again, pre-Clay was such... What made the dynamic so amazing between him and Curry was that
he could defend.
I'm defending the number one perimeter player every single night, no matter what. I'm the Wolverine. I'm going to stay in front of him. And it gave them such a diversity. And at 6'7", he was going up against, you know, 9 times out of 10, a smaller guy, and he'd just suffocate that guy. Yeah. And he would stay with him, and his lateral quickness was unbelievable.
That's what I'm saying. He lost that.
I know.
He lost that.
And that was a big part. That was a big part of his game. Offense.
But, like, the vitriol that he gets, dude, he lost it. And it's all understandable how he lost that effectiveness defensively. Think about how tough that was. He set the trend of 6'7" guys guarding point guards and just shutting them down.
I know.
Just shutting them down.
But you think is it body language? Is it missed shots?
Sometimes body language.
He's the microcosm of just frustration? What is it?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. So I feel like sometimes I'm just fighting for Klay Thompson because I'm like, guys, I thought we were fans of the Warriors and this is one of our guys.
But I think where I feel empathy on his behalf, it does feel like his main way of contributing now is putting the ball through the hoop, like shooting it long distance.
No doubt.
So when he doesn't do that, then we pile on.
Right.
And I don't think that's fair either.
Right. And look, he tried to adjust his game. He gave up the ball. He sacrificed shots. He had multiple meetings with them. But it's just like, man, like I'm thinking about the first 4 months of this past season. It was Clay. He stinks. Clay, blah, blah, blah. And Wiggins is out here averaging 12.5 points a game, shooting 20-plus from the three-point line. And he's just kind of flying under the radar. Well, and then not only that,
who he is.
Draymond's not available due to the suspension. Mm-hmm. And we're still riding. Like, it's just... I don't know, man. But I do agree, Clay's not the same. He's not the same guy. And that's a big reason on why the Warriors are not playing today.
No
because
doubt.
He's not the same guy.
But he's not the only one. But I sound like a broken record. I keep going back to the money. So, like, if he wants $30 million a year, there's really, of the top guys in the league getting paid that amount of money, it's Chris Paul and Gordon Hayward, two of the only guys coming off the bench.
Let me say this, though.
At that much.
Do we even know if he wants $30 million a year?
I'm just going.
Because that's a report. Maybe he just wanted more years. What if he just wanted 4 years like Dre and Wiggins and not the 2 years and said, look, $24 million a year is good, but what about 3 to 4 years?
Monte, the least amount of the AAV that they can get helps them out tremendously.
No doubt.
So that does matter.
It does matter.
It matters a lot.
But I'm saying, if you're Klay Thompson and you're saying, boy, he got the $24 million a year with the 2 years, $48 million, because you just brought up that he wanted $30 million a year. We don't even know that. What if he just wanted 4 years on a deal?
So let's say he wants 4 years for $18 million. That's significantly more beneficial to the Warriors than a two-year $60 million deal. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm saying they only offered him the two. Maybe he felt disrespected with the 2 years instead of the 4 years and the 3 years. He's looking at Wiggins and Draymond.
Right. No, it's not even about being right or wrong. I'm saying, in terms of the amount of years, and all, you're probably right. But like, I also understand, like, dog, you're a year older than Draymond, and, you know, I thought the Draymond 4 year extension was too many.
Right.
So, like,
I look at the last 2 years. Who had better seasons, Clay or Wiggins?
This year was Clay by far. The year before, Wiggins started off better. I guess Clay's body of work was better.
2 months of the season.
Yeah. I guess Clay's body of work was better.
Clay did lead the league at threes, right? Made threes. He shot 41%. Nobody, for some reason, that doesn't matter anymore. Let's go to, we got an injury report. All right, we'll get to the lines in a second. Wow, we got to get Shayla's shout out somehow, some way. We get to all the calls coming up on the other side, injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern
Southern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, Pelicans, they're going to have to get to the playoffs without Zion Williamson tonight. Ooh, that's a huge loss. And Brandon Ingram's banged up. The Pels announced that Zion will miss tonight's play-in final against the Kings due to a hamstring strain. Just tough. Zion was playing so well, playing some really good basketball. He's going to be out against the Sacramento Kings. Even if the Pels win, Zion is expected to be out at least 2 weeks and possibly more. Tough break for the New Orleans Pelicans, and one has to wonder if this is a sign that Zion will be better off playing for the Golden State Warriors and Dr. Rick Celebrini. Come on, love it. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. The injury report brought to you by Boxer Girls in Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. So it's coming up in a game brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.